Thank you, Lord God. We praise your name. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Lord, I pray that we would remember that, not just in this season, but all the time. You are a holy God. And we worship you and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you for your love and your blessings. To you be the glory in all that takes place in this evening. May what we do honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that need to be excused for a class, you're welcome to go there now. Great to see all the kids here on a Wednesday night. That's awesome. You know, you see all the time when we're watching TV or you get calls or you get these crazy robocalls and other stuff. And such a deal we got for you. We got such a great deal. The truth of the matter is, quite often, it's just too good to be true. And we're taught if it's too good to be true, you better be careful. Let the buyer beware. So let's take a look at this holiday season. And what does it cause you to reflect on, and what's it really all about? You know, the lights, the celebrations, the gifts, and oh yeah, the food. It's wonderful. It's a great season, and I don't want to make less of it than what it is. It's wonderful to be in this season, to see all the celebrations and the things that are going on. And I'll probably need a diet for 3 months afterwards. It's really good. It's a wonderful time. I don't want to come across legalistic, but do we lose track of who we are celebrating? What happened? And what does it mean to us? What does it mean to me? What does it truly mean to me? You know, we've all experienced offers that just seem too good to be true, and quite often they turn out to be not what we expected. It can come across, like I said, like such a deal I have for you. And why would an almighty God care about me? He already owns the entire universe. He owns everything. So why would God send his son to go through so much, then die and be resurrected for me or for you? And how am I supposed to be able to trust someone that I can't see and that I can't touch? When we've gone through life, there's a lot of times when there's people that we can see and we can't touch, and we found out we couldn't trust them. And those were the ones that we could see. Could Isaiah be right in Isaiah 12:2 when he says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." And when Isaiah is talking about the Lord in this sense, Isaiah calls the Lord El Yeshuati in this phrase, which is a form of Yeshua, and it translates the God of my salvation. You know, and we say we appreciate the salvation and it's wonderful and all that stuff, but sometimes do we grasp what that salvation really is? In this term, it encompasses the past, the present, and the future, and it includes every aspect of life. And it is true that it covers spiritual, the forgiveness of sin, and imparting of a new life. It gives us all that. But it can also be physical, and it can also be temporal. It reminds us of two truths that we need to think about. We are desperate for a need of rescue, and God is the one who can deliver us. The truth of the matter is, I don't care which news channel you watch, I don't care which political party you're interested in, I don't care what somebody else is trying to sell you. The truth of the matter is, there's only one that can truly rescue us. It's also expressed in Psalm 68, verse 20. Psalm 68, verse 20. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. You know, there's funerals going on in the midst of these celebrations. We're going to have one here tomorrow. It doesn't keep you from the escape of physical death, but it does keep you from the escape of eternal death, the spiritual death. Unfortunately, because of our fallen nature, our thoughts, the way we reason, makes it easier to believe in negative things than it does concerning God. Ask anybody that's involved in the news media and they'll tell you, if you want to sell something, it's got to be bad news. People don't pay that much attention to the good news. It's only for the moment. You've got to get out there and really get some bad news for them. And unfortunately, that seems to be human nature. think about this. Even the disciples in Luke 24, verse 34, found it easier to believe that they had seen a ghost than it was to believe that the Lord had risen from the grave. Think about that. These are people that were there at the time. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're supposed to believe it. But it is true. But even the disciples had a hard time with it. And when the Lord confronts the disciples regarding their doubts in Luke 24, verse 41, they still were not prone to believe. You know, we hear about doubting Thomas, but the truth of the matter is the disciples, at first, it was kind of like, what? How can this possibly be? And we don't really have a right to criticize the disciples, because stop and think about it. If you had spent several years with someone and you had seen them pass away, how would you react if they showed up unexpectedly? I mean, seriously now, I'm not making fun of it. I mean, it's something to laugh about, but how would you account for it? How would you attend a funeral and then three or four days later, a week later, whatever, all of a sudden they come walking up to you like everything's normal? So, you know, it's easy for us to criticize the disciples, but stop and think about it. The reality is that quite often if we were in their shoes, we might be more of a doubting Thomas than doubting Thomas was. Because that would be a hard thing for us to comprehend, because in the flesh it doesn't make sense. Our fallen and our fluctuating emotions make us prone to unbelief. And disappointments can give us a calloused attitude. Usually somebody that finds things easy to believe, we have a tendency to tease them and call them gullible. Most people are more like, I'm from Missouri, I got to check this out, I'm not so sure I'm going along with it. It's just the truth. It's human nature. In a hard and fallen world, mercy and pardon are not often exhibited. It's not. You don't believe it? When you go home, turn on the evening news tonight and see the things that are going on in this country. Take a look at what's happened. The rioting, the pillaging, people being raped, people being killed, the lawlessness. People given over to their own human nature start to go to a really dark place. And we often hang on to the past, to bitterness, to times when we were wronged. I know I've had a hard time letting go of this or that. Sometimes we really struggle because the hurt was deep, because it was somebody you trusted. We have to release and let go of those things. They obstruct our ability to receive what God has for us. Are we focused on what God has for us, or are we focused on, you hurt me, or you cheated me, or you did this or you did that? It can keep us from looking back. It keeps us from looking back and instead of seeing just the hurt and the wrongs, actually seeing and appreciating what God has brought us through. Now you can say, wow, I was in this terrible car accident. How could that possibly be? I'm not that bad a guy. And we can look at the negative stuff and how much it hurt and all those things that took place. Or you can go, wow, for as bad as all that was, God saw me through it. And I can stand here today. We human nature just wants to take us to that negative dark place when the reality is, God is there all the time, and he is doing so much. But sometimes we're not paying attention to the good that he's doing. Instead of doubting or laughing at the promises of God, which I've seen people do, we should be in awe of what he's done for us. Absolute awe. I prayed for somebody over the phone before the service started tonight. They're on oxygen. We're breathing and we don't even stop and just think about the fact that something that we're doing so naturally and we've done so often, we need to give credit to God for the very breath that we have. And sometimes you don't appreciate that until all of a sudden you're laying in a hospital bed and you've got an oxygen mask connected to you. There are so many things that we just have a tendency to take for granted. And even if we do think about it, we don't stop and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And let's face it, God's promises can often sound too good to be true because they go beyond our abilities. That's why we think they're too good to be true. If it's more than something that I can do, how can that possibly be? Where we think that was for another time or another place, and it doesn't apply to us now. Well, that was Old Testament. This is New Testament. It doesn't happen that way anymore. The problem I have with that is it seems to me I read someplace in Scripture where it says God is the same now and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. So what do you do with that? It's not Old Testament versus New Testament. It's not, it was okay then, but it's not okay now. The same God that brought Israel out of Egypt is the same God that will bring you out of the Egypt that you're dealing with, whatever that Egypt may be. Let me give you six truths just to think about. First of all, God exists, and that's a fact. Nature, the cosmos, and life itself affirm his existence. If you really stop and think about it, you can see God's hand in all kinds of things all around you. Some people take it to an extreme and they start worshiping the stars, or they start worshiping nature. That's wrong. We're supposed to be the one that created all those things. We worship the creator, not the created. I appreciate what he created, the trees and the grass and all that stuff and the stars in the sky, but I don't worship them. Unfortunately, some people make a religion out of that. Another truth is that God is present with us. He delivers personalized aid in real time. And he is still meeting needs right where we are at. Unfortunately, when we're going through the stuff that we're going through and we don't see the end of the story, we forget that. Well, that was for another time. God had that blind man see. God healed the leper. God did this. God did that. Or he did it in Israel, or he did it in Africa or India or someplace. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's doing it for you and for me right now. I've seen him answer prayers as recently as today and earlier this week. God is healing people. It's God that does it. God sees our plight. He is aware, and awareness always precedes benevolence. He sees our situations. You guys, anybody that's been around me very long knows what one of my sayings is. There's nothing happening that's a secret to God. He is not surprised, and you did not catch him off guard. He knows what you're going through. Maybe it's the emotions of being alone in the midst of the holidays. Maybe it's struggling because you have a loved one in the hospital. Maybe it's because, you know, the politicians are making their money no matter what, but other people are out of work and they're wondering what they're going to do. Think about the people in about six different states that need a roof over their head and maybe even lost some of their loved ones between the weather and the things that have happened. God knows, and God is meeting those needs. Sometimes it just doesn't happen in the way we anticipate, and sometimes it doesn't happen in the time that we would desire. But God is there. He has not left you. He will not forsake you. Another one is that God cares for us. That's the whole reason he made all these promises in the first place, is because he does care. He made us in his image. He wanted to have fellowship with us. He desires, he delights in our company. Sometimes when I look around, I wonder, does he really delight in that one? Yeah, he does. He really does. And because he's not a liar, and because he will not go back on his word, he is committed, and he is loyal to the promises that he has made. And God has resources to help us. He provides for our physical and spiritual sustenance. You know, when we're looking for tithes and offerings to help run the church, or we're looking for this or that, that's because of needs, and we're in just simply because we're all supposed to be invested in this. But the reality is, God owns it all. Just what do you think he is short on? His bank account isn't short. He has no shortage of food. He has a wonderful place that he lives, where we're going to be someday, if you love him. He has the resources. Also, God has obligated himself to help us. God obligated himself. Think about that one. The God who created it all, who owns all the cattle on the hill, he obligated himself. He didn't have to. He chose to be there for you and for me. It was intentional. The Old Testament and the New Testament in the Bible show us time and time again of God's faithfulness and of his commitment, and he is still faithful and committed today. Like I said earlier, it didn't end on a particular chapter or either in the Old Testament, and didn't stop at the end at the book of Acts. He is just as committed today as he ever was. Before you were born, he sent his only begotten Son so that we would have a way out and a way to be with him for eternity. That didn't end in Bethlehem. It's still true today. So all these things that we're celebrating, we have a lot to celebrate, because God is still loyal and committed to us and to himself and to his word. In Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He didn't say somebody from Florida's with you. He didn't say, "I'll get back with you." It's current. He said, "I am with you." Not "I'm going to be," or "I was." "I am with you." It means now. And he said he'll strengthen us. Because quite frankly, I don't care how tough you think you are or how smart you think you are, we all have those moments. Believe me, we all have those moments. Somewhere in our life, we do. God's promises and all that he has done all seem to be too good to be true. But that is because only God can do what he has promised and what he has done. What is impossible for man is possible through God. Even his love goes beyond our comprehension. I say that I love God, and I truly do. But if I'm gut level honest, he loves me more than I even know how to love him, more than I can even comprehend. And since he knows, has known me my entire life, I find that even more amazing. And it causes me to love him even more. Because even when I was his enemy, he still loved me enough to not let me go be a lost sheep. He went out and brought me into the fold. And I thank him for that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. Eternal. That's something that we can't even get in our head. Because in the flesh, things are finite. There's a beginning, there's an end, there's a middle, and there's all these other things. But with God, that's not true. It's all-encompassing. We have so much to celebrate this season because of what our Lord has done that we can rejoice in his goodness to us. Like I said, it may seem like it's too good to be true, but it's only because it's more than we can do. It's something that only he can do for us. But we play a part in it. We have to accept and receive that which he's offered. So we have a lot to celebrate this season because of what our Lord has done. And we can rejoice in his goodness to us. We truly can. Think of the things that God has brought you through, what he's brought your family or your loved ones through. We have a lot to celebrate. And I can't fathom giving one of my children up to do what Jesus did. I really can't. That is so hard to comprehend. And think about this. The Father actually had to turn his back on him at one moment when he took our sin. Do you know what that had to be like for the Lord when he had spent eternity with the Father? To have that moment in time where the Father turned his back because he couldn't look upon sin. We need to truly appreciate the goodness of God, the sacrifice that our Lord made. Like I said, is it too good to be true? Yeah, from a human perspective. But from God's perspective, he had to do it because of the love, the commitment, and the loyalty that he has. 2 Peter 1:4, by which he has granted us to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. Imagine that. He took somebody imperfect like me or you, and he's allowing us to partake of his nature. And like I said earlier, he chose to do it. He didn't have to do it. He chose to do it. It wasn't like he was drafted. What an awesome God we have. What an awesome Lord that we serve. And yes, like I said in the beginning, we hear these deals and these offers. Such a deal I got for you. And you start looking into something and you really get ready to jump on it and you find out it's a little bit too good to be true because it's not true. That chance to invest and by next month you'll be a millionaire just isn't going to really happen. But this is something that is true. Because only the one true God can meet that promise and that commitment. So when you're looking around and enjoying, like I said, the food, the fun, the fellowship, I especially love it when I'm watching, especially the little kids, their excitement in their eyes when they're looking at the lights or they're opening a present. And it doesn't matter if the present came from the dollar store or if you paid $200 for it. They don't care. It's exciting to them. So enjoy the season, but remember what the season's all about. and it's awesome. We need the same kind of an excitement that a child has when they're walking through Christmas land, where they're opening up that little present, if we could only be that excited about our Lord. You see him jumping up and down or falling on the floor or tears coming to their eyes and all that crazy stuff. When's the last time we came anywhere close to that for celebrating the one who did so much more than that for us? Amen? Father God, I thank you that we've had this opportunity to share a little bit. And because, Lord, sometimes we just need a little reminder that I know you continue to love us through it all, but Father God, help us to love you better. Help us to appreciate what you've done better. May our worship not be temporary, but may it be true. May we reach a whole new depth in our relationship with you, Father God. Help us to be like that child that's excited about going through a Christmas land and seeing all the lights, or opening up that little present, whatever it might be. Just amazed and just so much excitement and the thrill of it all. Lord, can help us to have some of that imparted into us, that we could be that amazed about what you've done, that we could be that thrilled that you included us, in that when you were handing the present out of what you didn't exclude us, you included us. We weren't the ones sitting off to the side and said, "Where's mine?" You were there saying, "It's here for you now. Just receive it. I want to give it to you." Lord, help us to receive all that you have for us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.